Get started. Good morning or good afternoon, everyone, depending on what time zone you're in. My name is Mindy Gare, and I'm the Southeast Region Business Development Manager for the InTrust Group. I want to thank you all for joining us on today's webinar that I'm co-hosting with iFlip Investors CEO Randy Tate. We are very excited for your interest in self-directed IRAs and learning more about algorithmic intelligence, which is also commonly called AI. We hope that you find the material in this presentation both insightful and informative. Everyone is going to be on mute throughout the presentation, but if you do have questions as we go through the presentation, please go ahead and start typing those in the questions box on your GoToWebinar dashboard, and Randy and I will answer those during the live Q&A at the end of the presentation. Also, just as FYI for everyone attending this webinar, we will be providing the audio recordings of the webinar to everyone afterwards. Right, before we get started, I have a quick disclaimer. The InTrust Group does not provide investment advice, tax advice, or legal advice. We are not CPAs, attorneys, or financial advisors, and we do not recommend or endorse any investments, products, or services. All of the information in this presentation is for educational purposes only, and we do recommend that you seek investment advice, tax advice, and legal advice before entering into any sort of investments. All right, during this webinar, I'm going to provide a quick overview of the InTrust Group for those of you who may not already be familiar with who we are. Then I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Randy Tate, who is the co-founder and CEO of iFlip Investors, to talk more about how AI works. He's also going to talk about how AI is used in financial services and in the investment world, how individuals use AI to grow their wealth, and the pros and cons of AI investing. Then we're going to open it up for the live Q&A and answer y'all's questions. All right, first I want to start with a little background on our company for those of you who are not already familiar with the InTrust Group. We are self-directed IRA record keepers and custodians who specialize in holding alternative assets inside retirement accounts for our clients. So we are the company that allows our clients to invest in alternative assets inside their retirement accounts, such as real estate, private placement, precious metals, promissory notes, cryptos, AI, which is what Andy is discussing on here today, and many, many more options. The spectrum of what our clients invest in inside of their IRAs and solo 401ks, it's a very broad spectrum and would be here all day if I were to list those all out. But just know that what you can invest in, it's a very large spectrum. We have been providing the record keeping services to our clients for nearly 40 years. We have around 22,000 accounts, and that makes up roughly $4 billion in investor assets. And one factor that makes InTrust unique is our single point of contact business model that we offer our partners and clients when they open an account with us. We understand that the self-directed world is a very complex area. So we provide a higher level of customer service to our clients and partners. So we help walk them through the process from start to finish. Most of our staff here at InTrust hold the CISP designation, which is Certified IRA Services Professional. We offer national continuing education classes for realtors and CPAs. We hold national and local events and webinars. We also sponsor an IRA Academy, which is where we actually teach the course that trains others in our industry to pass the CISP course. And that's a quick review of our company. Now I'm going to turn it over to Randy Tate, who is the co-founder and CEO of iFlip Investors, to educate us on algorithmic investing.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate it. Let me see if I'm made a presenter yet. So, all right. Did the screen come out proper?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So thank you very much. We're excited to be here and give a little education today. And before we jump in, I do want to definitely thank InTrust for having us on. I've been around this industry for quite a while, and the processes and the systems and the way they function and do business is first class. For those of you that are looking for that custodial relationship, there's not a better, more fluent one out there than what Intrust has put together, and would encourage you to look into what they're doing if you have money that needs to get self-directed. So I really do thank these guys for having us on here. And so like Mindy said, my name is Randy Tate, and I am the CEO and one of the co-founders of iFlip Investor. What we are is a software trading platform that has, what we've really done is close the gap between institutional style investing and how the average person is able to invest in the market. Many of you have, money at Intrust and places like that. It's all self-directed. This is another vehicle. Although we're not going to talk all about iFlip on here, that's my background and what I do. So hopefully you guys are able to get this, and you're going to get a video of this as you go. So let me make sure I can change my screen over here. All right. So as we back up one screen. So this is a little bit about me. I'm an entrepreneur by heart. My education is in education. I have a master's degree in education. I've built companies, sold companies. The biggest one I built, I actually built it in 5 years and sold it to a multi-billion dollar publicly traded company. It's one of my favorite things to do, and we're in the process of doing that right now with iFlip. I am the CEO and the co-founder of this fintech company. We are definitely unique in what we're doing, and I think you guys are going to find some information about AI in this presentation that doesn't just relate to financial services. I'm going to educate you a little bit on how AI is in fact changing the world. And math and technology are really what's driving change across almost every industry, from how you get your entertainment to how you drive your car to how you invest your money. Especially now with COVID, with COVID going on, AI's taking over, less people connect, all of those types of things. And it's really important that we get the distinction correctly regarding terms like AI and algorithms. They're often used inappropriately and in many different ways that aren't quite accurate. So think of this presentation also a little bit of definition clarification around what is an algorithm, what is AI, what does that mean? Because we see these terms everywhere, and we want to make sure that we're actually understanding what people want us to understand. So we're going to talk back and forth, because an algorithm is not AI, but algorithms are changing the world. Now, some people might want to say, I'm getting away from it. I'm not going to be dominated by algorithms. Well, you might not realize it, but you are. There's very few of us left using a flip phone or a rotary phone on our house. We are all using technology that's driven by algorithms. If you've ever wondered, how in the world does Facebook know that I Googled a new type of car or a vacation place, and all of a sudden all the ads just pop up? Like, what in the heck? How'd they know that? How did that technology understand? Well, that's a simple algorithm, and we'll talk more about what those mean, but you can't get away from them. They're ubiquitous. If you don't know what ubiquitous means, ubiquitous means that you are well known, you're everywhere, you're part of everything. It is ubiquitous. Every single one of these companies you see up there, from Amazon to Google to Facebook, all that's what drives that machine. And so I'm going to make a couple comparisons across industries, so it will help you understand better how iFlip uses that type of technology to be smarter than a human in managing the market. So let's use Blockbuster. I like to use the Blockbuster model, and I'm just going to give you guys a really quick education on Blockbuster and how it functions and what they did to build a dynasty. Everybody on this call knows who Blockbuster is. I know you're on here for investing, but I want to use this as an example so I can make some connections for you to understand how this type of technology can really help you in your investment situations. So Blockbuster had a real simple process. You select, they'd have a team of people that would go out and buy movies. They put, you know, the movies on the shelf. They had over 9,000 stores at their peak. And then they will put a bunch of it in inventory and off they go. That's their model. So their customers, they get what they want. Quite simply, they would drive to the location, peruse the movies and rent for a night or two, or, you know, you might went and rent, you know, late and you take it back late, you get a penalty. And that was the experience of the customer. Now listen to that closely, because this is a big deal. The customer experience that they had to go through to get a movie was that. Now, nobody had a problem with it. Nobody complained about it. Nobody were saying, man, I wish there was a better way for me to watch movies, you know, because I only have HBO, or I gotta go to the Blockbuster. Now, Netflix came along and decided to do it a little bit differently. Let's look at their model. The Netflix model looks like this. They hire content contractors to create content, right? Then they access it, so it's in one spot. So one thing you notice, there's a lot less humans doing work there. Less humans generally equals less fees. That's a correlation you want to make as we go through this. You know, Blockbuster isn't the reason AI exists, but they are part of the evolution of it, and they're a big part of it. Takes an army of employees, and I mean an army, and puts a big strain on the customer to be a Blockbuster, right? There, versus being a Netflix, you open up your app, you stream it, you peruse the movie, you can get them for free. You got a simple monthly fee. We love monthly fees. People tend to really appreciate just paying something every month. They know what they're paying. There's no extra cost. There's nothing in the background. AI and algorithms allow us to do this. So at the end of the day, the result was the same. In the movie watching world, the result is you want to watch a movie. That's it. All that's being changed is the delivery mechanism and the experience. That's what AI is all about. That's how it functions, and that's how it works today. So if you really look at the model and the numbers, look at what happened. All right. Blockbuster at its peak had 84,000 employees. While Netflix, right now, one of the hottest companies in the world, only has 7,100. 3 million subscribers versus 148 million. That's a huge difference. Why was Netflix able to do this? Well, algorithms and AI, that is why. And what algorithms and AI allowed Netflix to do is have a competitive edge that was so great, it was not able to be overcome or even managed by Blockbuster. So I'm going to ask you one simple question. I want everybody to think about this, and then we'll start getting into some finance stuff. If you have something you do, something you want, something you like, and all of a sudden you find a way to get it faster, to get it easier, to get a better product or service that's very simple to obtain, would you not choose to go that route? And we all know what happened. We all know the Netflix story. And I believe there's only one Blockbuster left out of 9,094 stores. They're down to one. Bottom line is that algorithms make the most of competitive advantage, these particular competitive advantages. They make it faster, easier, and better. And whenever you can make anything faster, easier, better, and then simple, and if you can make it, you know, cheaper, with a smaller infrastructure, you're going to win every single time. Now, let's talk finance. Let's talk a little bit about this world. I just want to make sure you guys had a clear understanding of that. So I took a few minutes to set that up for you. The financial services world is really trying to reinvent itself. But it is currently the way they're doing it with algorithms. And we'll talk about more about that specifically as we go through here. Companies like Wealthfront or Acorns or Robinhood or Betterment, they're not bad companies. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that they're trying to change the world and reinvent the industry, because there's some flaws in the industry. But every one of these companies right here, all of them, including whichever other ones you've invested in, are using algorithms. Algorithms are changing the investment world at a very rapid pace. And all of these companies are part of that change. And the reason that they're the part of that change is because the investment landscape's flawed. Those of you that are already at Intrust, you know this. You're looking for other places to put your money to work that's not in a traditional advisory sense where you're paying extra fees and doing other things that aren't able to produce the kind of returns you want to do. Just like the movies with Netflix and Blockbuster, you don't want to drive to the video store. You don't want to pay the late fee. You don't want to remember to rewind. You want to be able to have a better experience and a cheaper experience. So that's what you're looking for. So when we talk about this flawed landscape, there's really two major flaws in the industry today. And there's a reason that it's been since really the 50s, even longer than that, that this industry has had an overhaul like movies did, like Blockbuster did. And the reason is that the pros don't want Main Street to have the tools they have. The average investor that wants to go down to a traditional financial advisory firm, even those folks don't have access to these types of tools. And if you want to do it yourself, you definitely don't. You got to start doing math, figuring it out. When do I want to buy this? When do I want to sell that? And you're stuck doing it yourself. You're put in a position where you have to do the work, right? And we're not all professionals. We all can't do it. And what people refuse to tell you is that the approach that's taken, and I'm going to show you some really good examples of this later, where you think of things like mutual funds, that mindset of diversification across multiple stocks and that goal-based investing methodology is very old. It's ancient, and it is in fact a myth that that's the best way to reduce your risk. We'll talk more about that as we go as well. In the ambiguity, nobody likes to pay the fees associated with the traditional landscape, traditional landscape of investment advisors. It's like going to Blockbuster again. You got to pay for the rewind fee. You got to pay for the you're late one day, you're a couple hours late, you didn't drop in the bin, it forgot to drop it off, whatever it may be, there's just extra fees everywhere inside financial services. And in a traditional sense, it would be very difficult for anybody to find all the fees and all the charges. And large institutions promise transparency on this, but they don't deliver it because it's too hard. You really can't when you start taking the fees out the way they do it. So what we've started to do is we looked at AI and how we could use algorithms to solve these two problems. And we're going to talk a lot about that. And this particular space, it is ripe for disruption. Somebody's going to create a Netflix that's going to do to the financial services world, the traditional financial services world, what Blockbuster did. Or what Netflix did to Blockbuster. Got it backwards. So it started already. Let's talk about it. The first wave of disruption came from the robo-advisor. Robo-advisors like Betterment or Wealthfront were built to help reel in a new generation of investors. And those who had been either burned or extremely disappointed by Wall Street, their creation came out of the 07-08 crash into a different methodology of how they're going to get customers, right? While it's a legitimate innovation from a product experience and a user acquisition standpoint, the success of the robo-advisors was purely fueled by a 10-plus year bull market run. That's what made these institutions grow so fast and look so good. The second phase, and many of you are familiar with some of these companies like a Robinhood, a Stash, or an Acorns, these are designed to really attract the millennial crowd, the younger future investor in a gamed way. It feels like a game. I'm playing a video game. No, I'm actually investing real money. And we've seen some problems with these things because as great as these guys are at attracting people, they're not using new technology. They're not helping the investors find a way to grow their wealth or do something better. In many cases, particularly folks that are generally with self-directed types of money, they stay away from stuff like this because they'd rather put it in a piece of real estate, which obviously is a good place to put it. And they just don't understand it because it doesn't really help me or really do anything for me. And the last one, I'm not going to spend much on this, democratization, crowdfunding, things like that, allowing a small investor get a piece of a great big investment. That's another popular thing that's coming along, and it's very interesting, but not super disruptive. And we're going to talk a little bit about disruptive. But before we get into it, let's jump into the meat. So the meat of this presentation is about algorithms and AI. So let's define it. Let's get on the same page about what an algorithm is. An algorithm is a process or a fixed set of rules that are followed. It's calculated, and it's an always if this, then that, that happens. So if one algorithm might be, if this person searches for any of these words, we're going to send them this ad. That's an algorithm. It's fixed. Every time somebody types in Ford, Chevy's going to pay to have an ad that pops up that says, hey, buy a Chevy, hey, buy a Chevy, hey, buy a Chevy. And so that's just a simple algorithm. And the way it works is this, and I'm going to try and walk you guys through this little process right here. So if you can follow my cursor here, an algorithm takes undesired data, data that you can't use, lots and lots of data, and it plugs it into a formula right here in the middle where you see where it says daily algorithm. Now, that daily algorithm, and this is, I'm using an example from Flip to show you how an algorithm would work. That algorithm takes that data, and it's got a very clear set of rules that don't change. That clear set of rules in a traditional algorithm then kicks out data out the other side in a way in which we can use. Buy this, show that ad, do this thing. And then technology use is how you automate it and how you carry it out. So what you can see is in the financial services space, if you're doing all of this with AI and automation, and we'll get to AI in a sec, then you are eliminating humans and humans in the process, human errors in the process. It's all mathematics. Mathematics are never wrong. Mathematics don't have an opinion. So when you start to get into the algorithm, that's great. You know, but the problem is algorithms are very innately limited in scope. They're often performed by computers, but they cannot change their own rules. An algorithm in general cannot change its own rules. So let's talk about AI. This is the fun part. This is where it gets really interesting. And this can go on and on. So let's talk about an intelligent algorithm, or many of you have heard the term machine learning. How does a machine learn? Well, we know what an algorithm is. We know the definition of an algorithm. It's the process or set of rules to be followed in calculations or other problem-solving operations. Simple. Again, it's always an if this, then that. If a person clicks on this link, send them that email. If this, then that. However, when you start to get an intelligent algorithm, now you've got a math formula that actually has the ability to change its own rules. And I know some of you are scratching your head going, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. And no, it's not the Terminator. It's not going to come get us. It is simply the ability for that algorithm to change its own rules. And the way that looks is this. Remember the process we just talked about. What is an algorithm? Okay. An algorithm has undesired data put into a formula, kicks out desirable data, and then the machine or the technology automates it. We've already discussed that. We know what that means. That's an algorithm. Now, what happens though, when you lay algorithms on top of algorithms, now you've got an algorithm over here that's creating data. And that data can be anything from an ad to a buy signal or a sell signal or how many days above the moving average. And it can function inside the stock market. And we're going to show you how that works. But I need you to understand what's going on behind the scene. So what will happen is then this algorithm will then use this technology to put data into an algorithm that's, in our case, trading the market. Could be trading an individual stock, could be trading an ETF, could be mixed up in a smart folio where it's all being managed this way. And what happens is because this machine down here is putting new information here, not over here. See what I'm saying? You're going right into the algorithm. It changes its rules. So what could be a buy today might not be a buy tomorrow, or might not be a buy next week. So the price is going to be determined of the purchase price of something is going to fall into the range of, well, as of today, the rule says it's statistically likely that that stock's going to go up, so we want to own it. or it's statistically likely that stock's going to go down a certain level, so we want to get rid of it. And then you have the machine carry out the work. You have the machine carry out the work. You don't rely on the person, because what we know is that even if we do this and we send you the information, we send it to a person and says, hey, buy this today, sell that tomorrow, they won't do it. All of a sudden, they'll see something on the news, they'll start to have an opinion, and emotion will get involved, and you won't be able to help yourself. And I know we've got a lot of our customers that are learning a little bit about Intrust that are on this call as well, and this is a different presentation for them as well. And I've even seen some of our customers get nervous beyond the AI and say, hey, I'm going to take it out. That's not a good idea. I don't want my money in there. I got a feeling it's going to go down. Someone's going to win the presidency in a month or so. So everyone's got an opinion about it, right? And we say opinions don't matter. Math does. So what you want to do is really understand that this is a very complicated process. And, you know, having maintenance algorithms that are updating algorithms, allowing the machine to change the rule, that's AI. So somebody tells you they have AI, one simple question can determine if it does or does not. Can the machine change its own rules such that based on data, daily, weekly, monthly, it doesn't matter, based on data, is it going to take a different action? And does a human have to intervene? If a human has to intervene, it is not AI, it is just an algorithm. And my business partner, I'll talk a little bit about him. This is a quote from him. Kelly Korshak says that if you want to transform data, which can be logically and clearly defined, algorithms will beat out humans only every time. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Kelly before I jump into the next slide and show you an actual real example of the AI working. Kelly Korshak is a pretty smart dude. He went to Stanford's physics program when he was 16 years old. After being at Stanford for a few years, he went on to get graduate degrees at the University of Chicago in mathematics, statistics, and finance. He managed the risk desk for a little place called Deutsche Bank, which means the bank handed him $4 billion of the bank's private assets to manage with his mathematics and his algorithm. Now, it wasn't AI. The AI was Kelly. He had a team of mathematicians performing these mathematical formulas manually every day. What we've done is built out that team so that we can create we want to create AI that allows the average person to participate with the efficiency of an institution or of a billionaire. Now I'm going to get a little technical on you guys, so bear with me a little bit, and I hope that this makes sense for you. So if you look at this, this is a chart of the S&P 500. Since January or early 2018. And I like to show this because since 2018, we've had two major corrections, a 20% at the end of 2018 and a 30% just this year with the COVID issue. So I'm going to show you how the AI actually works, and then I'll show you a nice cleaned up graph so you can see what it really does. Remember, AI is changing its rules all the time, and it's changing its rules based on which particular algorithm's changing its own rules. We have multiple, we have a lot of them that are built into Smartfolios that are just point and click. So what we like to do and what we like to compare everything to, whether it's a real estate deal, whether it's a stock market deal, whether it's gold or crypto, they're all, you know, we wanna be in all different things. We just wanna make sure we're putting our money in a place that's gonna beat the S&P 500. That's the goal. The AI working looks like this. Let's go back to 2018, right? We're looking at 2018. If you can see the little blue dots, that's buy time. That's when the AI bought. And the little red dots, the little red circles are when it sold. And so what you're looking at right here, if you see right around here, this is where middle October of 2018, the AI determined there was a lot of risk. So it sold. Now you see what happened though, the market still went down, but it went back up and the AI didn't buy. Why? Well, obviously mathematically it said too risky, it's likely to go down. I had a lot of our customers call me up during that time and go, hey, how come I'm not, I don't own the market when it's going up? And I always have the standard answer, because the AI said, that's the math. I don't have an opinion. But then look what happened, 20% drop. And then what's right down here at the bottom or near the bottom is a little blue circle. The little blue circle, that's where the AI bought. The way you beat the market is by skipping the big drawdowns. You want to skip the big ones. You can do that, you're going to be much more secure and you're going to make much more money than the market itself. Now the little red dots, this is the real AI working. You see these little red dots, sometimes they're flat. They don't go up with the market or down with the market. These are the AI every day formulating the risk tolerance. So the AI is saying, okay, we will tolerate this much risk. So if the market gets to this point, we'll sell it before we take any more risk. The intention, like Mindy said earlier, we can't guarantee everything. We're not advisors. We're software people that build software platforms and mathematicians. The AI is designed so that you never lose more than 10% off your all-time high. And it's important for you to notice that the risk parameters get adjusted. So if you see if you look at it right here, that's where it bought. It rode it all the way up to around, what was that, May 2019, somewhere in there. It sold, and then it bought right back. And you notice right here, look, there's a big jump in the risk. It's okay, boom, we're gonna move up. Now let's go over here and look at COVID. Let's look at what happened during COVID. During COVID, if you can see, there's a red dot right around here somewhere where the software, the AI, had absorbed a small loss. It had absorbed a loss that was about 8-9%, and it hit the mathematical trigger, and you'll see the little tiny red dot, and it sold. It sold, and it went all the way down. And look right here, it bought, oops, back one side, it bought before the market even got to the bottom. It bought, that was the AI working. And then you see it kept going down. It almost made it to that risk number where it would have sold, but it didn't. And then it rode the market all the way back up. That is the intent. And you see the little risk parameter right here that the AI is establishing. Now this is a technical graph. You wouldn't see this on in our software. It doesn't show you this stuff. It's very seamless and easy to use. So when you take this performance of it and you compare it to the two things, remember I said we compare ourselves to the S&P 500, that's the intent. And you wanna make sure you're doing it in a way that is less risky. So risk is important. One of the beauties of AI, whether it's in, real estate industry, whether it's in the stock market industry, it doesn't really matter. One of the biggest advantages of AI is that it will help you have less risk. If you look at Sharpe ratios, this has Sharpe ratios in most cases over 1. Now, when you compare this apples to apples, mutual funds by themselves, and most of you already know this, so I'm not gonna harp on it too much, can't beat the S&P 500. They can't produce returns higher than it because they're so diversified generally into it that they behave just like it. So what you're looking at here is 3 lines. The orange is the AI. The blue is the actual S&P 500, that same time frame I just showed you the chart on. And the gray is the largest mutual fund Fidelity has. That's exactly what you're looking at. Now, you notice that the mutual fund compared to the S&P looks very similar, doesn't it? It's because it's diversified across all of it. And when you look at the AI, you see the little flat lines? It just pulled it out. The other thing I want you to really notice is, are you like 2018, the earlier in the year? It just did about the same. When the market's just going up, all you want to do is sit there and ride. That's the idea. You want to ride along until you can skip a dip. So when you start looking at these and you look over here at COVID, took a little drop. However, market took a much bigger drop. And what happens over time, if you can continually do this and you can predict these big drops and get out of it, whether you're doing it yourself, whether you're using AI, whether you've got a private advisor doing it, whether it, again, industry doesn't really matter here. If you can skip the downturns, you will always outperform the thing you're trying to beat. You can, will always outperform real estate. If you can stay ahead, if you could have sold all your real estate in 2006, skipped the downturn, and then start buying back in 2010, you'd have been in a great spot, and you'd have been much better off than buying and holding and just letting it ride. That's the idea. And so when you start looking at these things, you want to really start masking or monitoring performance versus risk. Now, I want to be really clear on this. Everybody asks, so AI is risk-free. I can just invest and have no risk. No, no, that's not accurate at all. It means risk reduction. It does not mean risk elimination. There is no such thing as no risk unless you're going to, you know, buy a safe at your house and put your money in that and bolt it to the floor. That would be your lowest risk. You can see, though, reduction of risk means you consistently lose less. And risk reduction is what we are all about. There will always be some degree of risk when investing, no matter what form of investing you're doing. The AI is designed to take advantage of this very risk by minimizing those downsides. That's what the AI does. Remember those algorithms. We've got a bunch of algorithms that are changing their rules, that are moving along to adjust to the market conditions based on what's going on the price. Fundamental data doesn't matter. We're not analyzing. Everybody asks the question, well, what happens if so-and-so wins the presidency? What happens if, you know, somebody attacks this or the virus, a virus comes out? It's all reflected in the price of the market. And the price of the market, the, particularly the S&P 500, is one of the main catalysts of what drives all your investments. Everything you're investing in, you know, the stock market, real estate, precious metals, crypto, it's all correlated to that S&P 500. And so what we want to do is put ourselves in a position to take advantage of the up times and just skip the down ones. And the best example I have in this is if you run backwards with the AI, and we're about 10 minutes from being winding up here. If you go backwards all the way back to 1987, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, there's been 8 major market crashes during that time. Now, these two, our AI was running and it's real. The rest of these, we backtest or we take Kelly's algorithms. He was managing money in the 80s when all of these happened. He's went through all of them. When you can save over time about 24%, that's big savings. And it's about risk reduction. AI allows that to happen. Now, it, you know, you can always override it, and people do. But just be warned if you want to do. Every major market crash since 87, they either did or would have significantly protected the downside. So the bottom line is pretty simple. The financial services space is ripe for disruption. It does need new stuff. It's looking for a new way. It's looking for a Netflix because it's a very complicated world. Putting your money to work in the self-directed space, you guys are, you're the pioneers of going after it and changing and getting new things going. And that's super exciting. The fact that you're with a company like Intrust that's helping you, and although they're not recommending or showing you anything, they're putting you in a position to be able to put that money to work. And that is amazing. We know that AI is more effective than humans. And we also know that it's more efficient because it doesn't get the heart palpitations and panic. It doesn't go, ah, geez, it's going down. Humans naturally, they're trading the market. They tend to naturally buy high because they're excited, something good's going on, and then sell low because everything's going bad. And the idea is to sell high and buy low. That's the intent. You don't have to sell at the top. You don't have to buy at the bottom. You want to play right in the middle. But while you own things, it's more powerful to go up with them. And that's true only every time. So we're not, you know, that is what I really wanted to get across to you guys. I'm at almost 40 minutes. So I want to make sure we have plenty of time for Q&A. And I know a lot of people might, we're going to have a ton of questions. I'll try and answer whatever we can get. But if you want to, if you want to see the software work, if you're interested in getting a demo, you got 3 ways to get one. You can email me directly. You can text the word Intrust to the phone number on the screen, or you can just go to iFlip webinar where there's a scheduling link for you to schedule an appointment. If you're interested in learning more about it or seeing it work, we like to do those in a private manner, not a big sales pitch. We just want to make it available for you to learn more if this type of learning and this type of education is something that interests you. We are very interested in it. We find it fascinating, and obviously that's what we do. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure you're getting all the needs and all the information you need. So you guys are all welcome to type in some questions. I'm going to hand the presenter mode here. Just under 40 minutes.
Randy, there's two questions right now. I'm sorry to interrupt. Brian asked, does AI decide what to invest in for you, or do you tell it what to invest in?
That works a couple of ways. There's one in our particular case, there is one Smartfolio where the AI does everything. It picks the stocks, it picks the algorithms, it does all of it. We have one of those. And then we have a whole bunch of them that Kelly has built. Kelly has built these to perform like you guys saw. So we want to make sure that you pick the Smartfolio. But if you really want, you have the ability to customize and you can pick your own as well. So Brian, would be the correct answer. It's up to you.
And then Christian asked, your show a long AI. Do you also have a long short version?
Good question. That's a really good question. Our Smartfolios are set up to be long only. Why? Because the majority of the items that they're investing in are things inside the S&P 500. And we know that the S&P 500 itself goes up 85% of the time. So to short, we do have that capability, but it's much easier and much less risky. And we're about the risk. It's much less risky instead of guessing that something's going to go down or that something might drop based on something we saw in the news, the price will tell us when, and we hedge into cash, and we just wait till it's going to turn, and then we go back in. That's the mindset behind it. Down the road in 2021, sometime we will have a few short strategies. Kelly's not a big fan of it because, like I said, 85% of the time, the market goes up. And so we want to be in when it's going up, out to skip the dips.
Okay, the next question is from Tim.
Hey, Julie. Real quick before we start doing the live Q&A, Randy, can you turn the presentation back over to me? I have a couple more things I want to mention, and then we'll start with the live Q&A.
Okay. Does that work?
Perfect. Thank you very much. So I just really quickly wanted to say, Randy, I appreciate you co-hosting this webinar with us today. It was very informative, and I hope everyone on this webinar found it to be very informative and educational as well. One of the main reasons why we co-hosted this webinar with iFlip Investors today is because in order to participate in their platform, you actually have to move your money to a custodian who is holding the alternatives. And so that's exactly what we do. So we are one of those custodians who will allow you to invest in iFlip software if that's what you would like to put your money in. And I just real quickly wanted to go over the steps in order to do that. Again, if you have questions, go ahead and type those into the Q&A box, and then we'll go ahead and answer those at the end. So it's basically three steps to get started with this. The first step is opening up your Intrust account. The second step would be rolling over or transferring money from an IRA or an old 401k, 457, any type of qualified plan. And then you would set up your profile, set up your account with iFlip, and then you would direct us to invest your money into your iFlip account. And from there, I Flip would handle the process. So that real quickly was just a brief overview. Again, go ahead and put your questions in the questions box and we'll go ahead and start with a live Q&A. Again, if you need additional information, there's Randy's contact information. My contact information is there in regards to self-directed IRAs. Please feel free to reach out to us directly if you have any additional questions or would just like a conversation around either self-directed IRAs or on the AI software that Randy went over today. All right, so let's see. The first question, it says, this looks like a risk reduction algorithm. Are you working on others?
Yes, the one I showed as the example is designed around risk. However, there are currently 12 distinct algorithms inside our software platform. Each of those can be attached to any individual stock or ETF. We have one person that only trades Amazon using multiple algorithms to manage his own risk. He's a professional, he's been doing it for years. The majority of our smart folios are designed to maximize risk during big downturns. This is not an avid day trading in and out all the time mechanism. It is a simple platform that looks to be long and will trade on average 10, 15 times a year is all. It's not about being in and out all the time. It won't worry about a little 3-5% downturn. It's trying to skip those really big ones the most of the time. That's the intent.
Okay, great. Thank you. Another question. Can you go over the process of registering with iFlip again? Yes. So there's a couple steps on our side, and then I'll let Julie, you and Randy go over kind of the process on your side real quickly. But the first step is opening up an interest account or opening up an account with a custodian who is willing to hold the alternatives. So that's the first step. Then you're going to complete the paperwork to move your money from current custodian over to us or over to the custodian. So it would be either a transfer or a rollover. You can roll over 401ks, 457s, 403bs, TSPs, any type of qualified plan, as long as you're no longer employed. If you're still employed with the company, you'll want to check with your plan administrator to see if you're able to move that money over, but typically you're not. Any Roth IRA, traditional IRA, SEP IRA, ESA or HSA, all eligible to move over. So you'll work on the paperwork to move it to your custodian account. And then you will create an account with iFlip and then direct us or your custodian to invest with iFlip. And then Randy, I'll let you and Julie go over real quickly what the iFlip registration looks like.
Sure, it's a pretty simple process. We are obviously an automation technology company. And if you want to sign up for it, just I would say text that word or jump on one of the calendars or shoot me an email so I can give you a demo. We like to educate people before we have them just go sign up for the software. That's why I didn't give you a sign up link or anything on this webinar. The pricing is anywhere from free to $77. So it depends on you and what you want to do. And we will walk you through that process. We'll hold your hand and do that if it's something you decide you want to do. We just really want to make sure that we're educating you and you understand what you're doing before you actually do it. And then the software works great for you. So, that is the simple process. Or you could just send me an email. If you're an expert in the software space and you want to just do it all on your own, just send me an email. My email's up there and I'll help you out and we can help you get that set up with interest.
Great, thank you. All right, we have another question that just came in. Can you suggest how an investor can do a small investment, $10,000, to see how an investor would fare? Is the monthly fee $80?
Oh, good question. We have a multiple plan platform. On our platform, you can, like I just said a second ago, you can be free. If you have 10 grand, it would be a $10 a month fee, if that's what was what you were investing. The highest price is $77. Depending on the amount of money you want to invest and how many smart folios you want to use, there's sometimes a small startup cost, but we spend a lot of time with you. We're very hands-on to make sure that you get set up proper and that you understand what you're doing. And so it won't be $80, but it would be $77 would be the most expensive. On a $10,000 investment, though, that would only be a $10 a month platform.
Great, thank you. Okay. Looks like we have another question. How is RMD handled from the IRA? So I will go ahead and speak how we handle RMD, and then I'll let Randy go ahead and discuss how they would handle it. So if you're required to take an RMD, you have a couple of options. If you do not want to liquidate any amount and you want to pay the penalty for not taking the RMD, that's fine. You can do that. It's a 50% penalty of the RMD that you're required to take. If you're not able to liquidate, and you do not want to pay the penalty, you can do a partial in-kind distribution, which means that you will have a portion of that asset retitled in your name at whatever percent that you're taking, and then the rest of it will remain in your IRA. The other option is to liquidate, if that's an option, and I'll let Randy go into detail on if they allow partial liquidations from the accounts. But if you're able to do a partial liquidation, you can liquidate the amount that you need to take as an RMD, move it back over to Intrust, and then take the RMD from that account. Now, keep in mind, when there is an RMD, you're not required to take an RMD from every retirement account you have. They take a look at all of your retirement accounts, and there's a required minimum distribution based on the aggregate of your accounts, and you can take that RMD from any one account. So it doesn't have to be from every account. You can take it from just one account to fulfill that RMD.
Julie, can you answer that?
Yes, I sure can. I was just going to say, from the iFlip side, how it works is because it is an asset that's self-directed in your retirement account, what they'll do is as frequently as you want, but at least annually, iFlip will report to the Intrust or to your IRA custodian with the fair market value. So, for instance, if you fund iFlip, let's just say $50,000 out of your retirement account, and then at the end of the year it has now gone to $60,000, the iFlip will report that amount to Intrust to reflect the current market value of that asset, and then RMDs would be taken through Intrust. They're the accountant of the account. So all of the money and liquidations that are funded to flip through your retirement account, they would have to be liquidated and then sent back to your retirement account in order to take a distribution or an RMD or something like that.
Yep, great. Thank you, Julie. All right, the next question, are there green energy portfolios?
Not yet. We have some green energy companies that are in portfolios, but one purely dedicated to just green energy. Kelly's working on one right now, and we anticipate that rolling out in the first quarter. But for today, we have green energy companies that are sprinkled into some of the smart folios, but to have one dedicated solely to green energy, we do not have today.
All right, great, thank you. Next question, has the back-tested AI indicated higher reliability when trading index funds or individual equities?
Great question. Most of the smart folios, when we back-test them, for instance, the chart I showed you on the downturns, that was just a straight head-to-head comparison with the S&P 500. So the majority of the smart folios have both in it. And so that when you run it back, the ETFs, the funds, they will generally provide much more alpha stability where the individual equities provide your beta to give you the growth out of the process. That's why it's better than just owning one fund. Better than the index fund is to actually own the index fund and then a bunch of the higher beta individual equities that are inside the fund to pull them out so that you're not so diversified you just become the fund. You don't want to just be the fund. So the reliability is very good on both. Again, it is designed by its design to really be reliable and skip as many of those as you possibly can.
All right, thank you. We've got one more question. Percent portfolios typically not invested, not S&P 500. I think that question is, what percent of portfolios not invested are not in the S&P 500?
Of the 12 smart folios, I believe 3 or 4 of them do not have some version of the S&P 500. And we trade the SPY fund, which is the proxy for the S&P 500. We also trade the SPYG, which is the growth version of it, little segments of the S&P 500. We do like to use the S&P 500 as our benchmark. That's where we like to keep the, that's the bar. We try to keep that bar. And when we look at it, most of them have some aspect of the S&P 500. There's only 3 or 4 that don't. The rest of them have some part of it. Sometimes it's as little as 10%. Sometimes it can be as much as 50% of the SPY is the smart folio. For instance, we have one that trades the FANG, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google, those guys, and the SPY. They're in the single portfolio. The SPY is 50%. The other ones make up 10% each. That's just a sample distribution of what a smart folio would look like. But again, most of the smart folios do have some form of the S&P 500 in them.
All right, great, thank you. We've got one more question that's come in. They're on the iFlip investor site now. Am I really required to provide my social security number and birth date?
Yes, that is your friends at the SEC. It is legally mandatory. That is how they confirm that you are not a terrorist or a money launderer. It is very stringent laws. It was one of the harder pieces of software to write, so that we partnered up with companies that they do identity verification. And the way they do that is by matching up your address to your social, to your birthday, so that it all lines up and that you are who you claim you are. That's not a flip rule. That's a SEC rule.
And I will go ahead and echo on that. In order to have an account with us as well, we do require that sort of information. Everyone goes through a verification process. So that's just standard in the industry.
Yeah, we don't right. We don't have a choice on that one.
Yep, same. Okay, it looks like that's it for questions. I'm going to go ahead and give y'all another minute. If you have any questions that you would like us to answer, go ahead and type those in the questions box. Otherwise, both my contact information and Randy's contact information is listed on your computer screen. Feel free to reach out to us via email or phone with any questions in regards to self-directed IRAs or in regards to the iFlip Invest platform. All right. It doesn't look like there's any other questions. So that's going to conclude our webinar for today. Randy, thank you very much for co-hosting the webinar with us. And like I said, if you have questions, please feel free to reach out to us. Otherwise, y'all have a good day.
Thanks, Mandy.
Yep, thanks.